All right, so we'll say good morning. Let's begin. Today's daf is Kuf Beis 102. We are picking up. Let's go back for a moment. Although we started the Brais already, started the Mishnah. Let's begin again on Kuf Aleph on Beis 101b, two lines up from the bottom. Tanan Hasam. So remember again, we began this really fascinating discussion yesterday. Hamotze Meis Mushkav Kidarko. So we'll say a person finds a corpse that is buried kidarko, buried in a normative way. So what's Talach Rabbo saying? So I don't want to leave the body here. I'd like to transfer the body to a cemetery. So what's the halacha? Note low, I'm permitted to move the body. Ve'estifu saso. And I'm also permitted to go, but I'm obligated to take the dirt surrounding the body as well. So we'll say the idea being that we assume that the body decomposes, and therefore, again, there is remnants of the body in the dirt around the body as well. How much of the dirt do you have to take? So again, the Rashbam said that it refers to the loose dirt around the body as well as dirt of three tfachim down as well. So the Gemara says, Shnayim, let's say you find two bodies. Note, lon v'estifusasan. So same thing, Rabbi, say two bodies. Again, we just assume that these are just happenstance events, and we go ahead and we remove the bodies as well as the surrounding earth, top of Kuf Beis. Matzah Shlosha. Let's say, however, a person finds three bodies, so now we have an issue. So the issue over here is the following. Yesh Beinehem Me'arba Va'ad Shmona Harei Ze Shchunas Kvaros. So we'll say, if there is between 4 and 8 amos, so we'll say in a distance between bodies 1 and 3. In other words, that if the maximal called exterior distance from body one to body 3 is between 4 and 8 amos, then I'll say those dimensions tell us that what I've just stumbled upon is what he calls a shchunas kvaros, right? A grave neighborhood, right? Which is not the neighborhood anybody wants to move into. But nice, again, I've stumbled upon a burial complex. I've stumbled upon a cemetery. Now, I'll say, take a look at the Rashbam for just a moment. Matzah Shlosha, Mesim Mushkavim Kidarkon. If I have found three corpses that are Mushkavim, and I will say, by the way, when we say Mushkavim Kidarkon, it's also important to understand the Rashbam gets into this. On Amadeus, we're not going to get into this right now. What this is talking about is these are bodies that are buried normally, as opposed to having the appearance of someone who was killed and placed in the ground. These are normative buried bodies. You know, in accordance with all the halachas that we have of burial. So look at the Rashbam, Matzah Shlosha, Mesim Mushkavim Kidarkon Zebet Tzadzeh, Imesh Ben Arishon L'Shlishi Karav L'Dal Ramos or Karav L'Chas, Harei Ze Shchunas Kvaros, Veloyitlein Mikan, Dekanu Mekoman. So we'll say ultimately again, so the halacha is going to be over here, that I cannot move. Once I find three bodies, and those bodies again have a distance, or are buried within 4 and 8 amos. That's the distance between bodies 1 and bodies 3, and body 3. I've stumbled upon a cemetery, which Shabbos means I can't uproot these bodies. Remember, in the previous two cases where you found one body, you found two bodies, the assumption is that we're not in a cemetery. So because we're not in a cemetery, it's covered a mace to be able to unearth the mace and rebury him in a cemetery. Once I found three, then that is indicative again that I'm in a shchunas kvaros, a cemetery, and therefore again I can't go ahead and unearth the bodies and rebury them. So what do I do now? So now that I've discovered these three bodies, what do I do next? Ubodek mimenu olahalon esrim amo. But what I do next is I go ahead and I go from body number three, right? Body number three, and I go another 20 amos to see, is there another body? Now, we'll see why we say 20 amos, and just remember again, this is all going to go back to our discussion. All of this is going to be based on yesterday's discussion of the burial complex as described in the Mishnah. Remember again, you'll notice, we'll see it in just a moment. So I go another 20 amos, and I check again. Matza echa b'sof esrem amo. Let's say I find another body 20 amos away. So what's the halacha? Bodek mimenu ulahalon chafama. So we'll say, so here's the way it's working. So step number one, to establish that I'm in a shchunas kvaras, that I'm in a cemetery, or I'm in a burial complex, is I find three bodies that have a distance between them between 4 and 8 amos. After that, I have to go to an hour. So we'll say, you already know what's happening over here. The way this is working is, I think that what I've just stumbled upon is a ma'ara, right? Is a burial cave. So we'll say, remember again, here's what we know about the setup of ma'aras. Ma'aras never, you never really had one ma'ara alone, right? What did you have? Remember, you have a ma'ara, like we saw. Yeah, remember again, that's the picture from yesterday in Rashi. You have a ma'ara, which essentially is that central area. Then you have a bunch of what we'll call burial slots off the side. A ma'ara then was next to a chatzar, and there was another ma'ara on the other side of the chatzar. According to Rabbi Shimon, again, remember, you have four ma'aros. According to the Tanakhama, you have two ma'aros. What the Mishnah essentially is saying to me over here is the following. If I find three graves between 4 and 8 amos of each other, I'm essentially going 20 amos now the other direction to see if if there's another ma'ara there. See if there's another ma'ara there. Now, both say, now, lemaisa again, and we'll see why 20, because 20 doesn't really work out with the math, as we saw from yesterday. Now, once, if I do find another body there, then what? I go another 20. Because they will say it's also possible that I have just discovered a much larger complex as well. So, matza echa b'sof esrim amo, bodek mimeno lahalon chaf amo, sheraglayim ledover. Because they will say, ultimately, what does it mean, sheraglayim ledover? That I have pretty good circumstantial proof, right? I have pretty good circumstantial proof that I have just discovered a much larger burial complex. Now, the Gemara just ends off by saying, shila mitchila matzu natlova estifusasa. Now, of course, the intriguing part over here is if the first body I were to find was the body that was 20 amos away. Because remember the timeline over here. The way this is working is I find body number one, then I find body number two, then I find body number three. And those are within 4 and 8 amos of each other. Now the halacha tells me, go 20 amos away, and if you find another body, then again, that's all part of the same complex. Now, of course, the Gemara is pointing out, had I found body number four, right, which again is the body that's 20 amos away, then what Rabbi say? What would I have assumed that I would have found? Just a standalone body. Because remember again, we'll say, had I found body number four, 20 amos away from the previous three, without finding anything else in that proximity, I would have assumed I just found a standalone mace, and I would have unearthed that body, and reburied it somewhere else. So the Gemara is just saying over here, that now that I found all of these bodies, raglayim ledover, it's clear that I have found a burial complex. She says, she'ilu mitchila matzo, even if I would have found body number four by itself, not lova estefusaso, I would have been within my right to go and unearth the body, take the surrounding earth, and rebury the body. Take a look at the Rashbam for just a moment. Shilu mitchila, it's all the way down in the Rashbam, about like 12 lines up from the bottom. Shilu mitchila matzah, kodem shematzah gimel mesim, had I found body number four, before I found the previous three, the leka hashraglayim ledavar, hayanot lo v'estefusaso kida amran hamotzi mes. Notas tefusasa v'achshav sheninsa libasof, chashina lahu yechidi shchunas kvaras. So we'll say, ultimately, again, so even though if I would have found body number four by itself, I would have assumed it's standalone, I would have unearthed and reburied it, but now that I found it within 20 amos of the first three bodies, I feel like I have discovered a burial complex, and therefore, again, I can't move the bodies. So we'll say, now we're going to analyze this. Amar Mar. So let's go back and pick apart this price. So, Amar Mar. Me'arba. Okay, me'arba va'ad shmona. So we'll say, remember again, we just said before that if the three corpses are found between 4 and 8 amos of each other, so ultimately, again, this is considered to be what we call a shchunas kvaras. So money. We'll say, whose opinion does this reflect? I-rabbanon. So if you want to say it's rabbanon, ha'amri dalet amos al shesh. So we'll say, remember again, going back yesterday, so remember, you could see in the pictures on Amud Aleph, the Machlokes between the Rabbanon and Rabbi Shimon about the dimensions of the Ma'ara. The Ma'ara is the burial cave itself. According to the Rabbanon, a burial cave is 4 by 6. According to Rabbi Shimon, a burial cave is 6 by 8. So remember again, what did the Braisa say? The Braisa said that if you find bodies, and the bodies are spaced between 4 and 8 amos of one another. So the Gemara says, whose opinion does that reflect? If it's the Rabbanon say the dimensions of a Ma'ara burial cave are what Rabbos say, Dalar al-Shesh, 4 by 6. If Rabbi Shimon, and if it's Rabbi Shimon, Ha'amar Shesh al-Shmona. Rabbi Shimon says the dimensions of our burial cave are what they're both saying, 6 by 8. So we'll say, so, but yet the Mishnah is not saying either of those, right? What is the Mishnah saying? The Mishnah is saying between 4 and 8. So that's not the Rabbanon, who are 4 by 6, and it's not Rabbi Shimon, who is 6 by 8, to which the Gemara says, you're right. The Ulam Rabbi Shimon. In reality, it is Rabbi Shimon. But, Vahai Tanohu, but it's Rabbi Shimon, but this is reflecting the opinion of the following Tano. Supposed to listen to this, which was the Tana, this Sanya, Matsan Ritzufin, Ve'ein Beinehen Midalar Amas Adches, Yesh Lahem Tfusa, Ve'ein Lahem Shchunas Kvar. Supposed to listen to this. Let's say you find, now Matsan Ritzufin, what it means, let's say you find a number of bodies buried in very close proximity to each other. Ve'ein Beinehen Midalar Amas Adches. And I will say, there is not a distance of between 4 and 8 amos between bodies 1 and 3. So also what I've just discovered is a bunch of bodies that were buried in very close proximity to each other. So we assume that what's happened over here, we assume Yeshlan Tfusa, well, Yeshlan Tfusa means that they are not considered to be buried in a burial complex. Rather, it's considered to be a haphazard burial, and therefore I have the right to go ahead and what? I have the right to unearth them, take the surrounding earth, and rebury them. Ve'ein lahen shchunas kvaros. And ultimately, again, they do not have the identity as shchunas kvaros, as a cemetery. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Shimon Yehuda says, Mishum Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda, Omer Mishum Rabbi Shimon. So what's Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda says in the name of Rabbi Shimon, Roin es ha'emtsoim ki ilu einon. What says an interesting case. We view the middle bodies as if they are not there. Vashar mitstarfin midalad amos va'adches. So Rabbi said, it's actually quite interesting. In other words, according to Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi said, what we can do is the following. In order to get the requisite measurements to create this space as a shchunas kvaros, as ultimately, again, as a cemetery, we could go ahead and view it as if certain bodies are missing, in or are not there, in order to go ahead and form the requisite amount. So in other words, we're going to see this come up on the days again. Rabbi Shimon has this very novel idea that in order to get to the requisite dimensions, you could view it halachically as if certain things are not present. So Rabbi said, the Gemara is suggesting over here that when the Mishnah gave the dimensions over here, that if you find bodies 1 and 3 between 4 and 8 amos, that in fact is the position of Rabbi Shimon. But Rabbi Shimon says that Lamaisa, the dimensions of the burial crypt are six by eight, not 4 by 8, to which the Gemara says this is in accordance with the opinion of a particular Tana, who quotes Rabbi Shimon as saying that when there is an overcrowding of bodies, you could view some of the bodies as if they are not there, in order to endow the particular space with the identity of being a cemetery. So the Gemara says, okay, let's analyze this. So how are we establishing this? Rabbi Shimon. So it says, now you're telling me, fine, that the price reflects the view of Rabbi Shimon. If that's the case, says the Gemara, Eva Seifa, let's look at the end of that Mishnah. What was the end of the Mishnah? Bodei kimen ulahalon eshim amas. So we'll say, so watch this. Fine, so we've established now the first part of the Mishnah that says that if there's between bodies 1 and 3, if between bodies 1 and 3, there is at least 4 to 8 amos, we've established a shunas kvaras. Then what happens, we'll say, kuf beis amud aleph, 5 lines up from the bottom. So we'll say, so the Gemara says the following. So now, let's go a little bit weiter. What does the end of the Mishnah say? What does the Seifa say? The Seifa says, Bodei kemenu olahalon, esrim amo. What's the halacha, we'll say? We go ahead and from body number 3, by this, from body number 3, from body number, it doesn't matter, but from the bodies that I found, I now check another 20 amos. In other words, I now go another 20 amos and look for a body there. Now, both say, now we assume, where's 20 amos come from? We assume that what I'm doing over here is, I assume I've just discovered a ma'ara. What am I doing now? I'm going across that ma'ara, across that chatzar, right, again, you can reference the fifth chart of Amud Aleph, across that chatzar, to discover the existence of another ma'ara. That's what I assume is happening over here. So let's analyze this. So the Mishnah tells you 20 amos. So money, whose opinion does this reflect? E Rabbi Shimon, Esrim, Vitartin Havyon, E Rabbanon, Tamni Siri Havya. So we'll say, listen to this. Let's go back to Amud Aleph. Take a look at the pictures for just a moment. And let's do the math. The pictures are nice. Let's do the math. So let's remember again, the first picture you have over there, that's the Rabbanon. I will say, according to the Rabbanon, to get from one end of the Ma'ara to the other end of the Ma'ara, I will say, is how much? Is going to be, ultimately, is going to be 18 amas. Right? 18 amas across. Right? Think, right, because remember, each Ma'ara is 6 by 4, the Chatzar is 6 by 6, so to get from one end of the Ma'ara to the other end of the Ma'ara, we've got 18 amos. According to Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, which is the second drawing over there, so you have each Ma'ara is 8, 16, plus another 6, so we'll say, so what do you have? 22. So remember, again, either way, so according to the Rabbanon, it's 18 from one Ma'ara to the other. Ma'ara, according to Rabbi Shimon, is 22. Either way, Rabbi say it's not what? 20. It's not 20. So yet, the Mishnah tells me that from body number 3, I go 20 amos in order to be able to discover the existence of potentially another Ma'ara. So the Gemara says, so what's going on over here? The Olam Rabbanon. In reality, it's reflecting the view of the Rabbanon. Ukigon, this is actually very interesting. He says, Debadak Ba'aluk Suna. So we'll say, I'm checking not in a linear fashion, but rather again in a diagonal. So meaning, if there is another Ma'ara, if I travel 20 amos, I will go ahead and I will discover another grave within the diagonal of 20. And also by allowing me to go in the diagonal of 20, I have a greater possibility of being able to discover any additional graves. So one second, says the Gemara, fine. So if that's the case, Umidaha ba'alachsuna, ha nami ba'alachsuna. So we'll say, to which the Gemara says, but if you want to tell me, remember, there were 3 steps in this process. Actually, there was more than 3 steps. Step number 1 was, I found one body. Step number 2 was, I found 2 bodies. Step number 3 was, I found 3 bodies. Now I've discovered a Shechunas Kelaros. What does the Braisa then tell me to do? Go another 20 amos, and if you discover a body, okay, then what's the Halacha Rabbosai? Go another 20 amos after that and discover another. So the Gemara says, so they're telling me now that if the same way that the first 20 is at the diagonal, that the second 20 is going to be on the diagonal as well, to which the Gemara says, no. Esrim vitartin havyon, to which the Gemara says, but then that should be 22 amos, to which the Gemara says, chada ba'alach suna aminon, tshe ba'alach salma aminon. So we'll say, interestingly enough, the Gemara sees the obligation to travel 20 amos at a diagonal, ultimately, again, as a chumrah, to which the Gemara says that chumrah only applies when looking for the first 20, but we do not apply that chumrah when looking for the second ma'ara, we don't apply that chumrah when looking for the third ma'ara.
Well, like, the wrong direction.
I'm sorry?
What if you go the wrong direction?
So that is a possibility in all of this. The possibility in all of this is that Lamaisa, I'm just going the wrong direction. There obviously is going to be a cap on how far I'm obligated to go to be able to discover a burial grave. Meaning, the halacha doesn't demand that someone spend all of their time and resources going in every single possible direction. So we tell you, choose one. Remember also, this is also based on how you find, not getting like too graphic over here, but how you find the positioning of the bodies. Remember, the Gemara here doesn't end this, we saw this in Waikatan, bodies were buried in a particular direction. Bodies were buried feet out. So if you found feet out, that also gives you the particular orientation of where it is that you're looking. So again, you go in a direction, quite possibly you're missing the network, but there's only so far as we're going to make you go. Look at Amar Beis Avos like, Rav Shish Rei Dravidi Amar. So Shish Rei Dravidi has a different interpretation. He says, the Olam Rabbi Shimon Havya. So we'll say, remember, what's the question we're trying to figure out now? So remember, here's what we've got. I've discovered the Shechunas Kvaras. I've discovered the cemetery. Now what I need to find out is there another Ma'ara on the other side? So the Mishnah told me, go 20 amos. Our problem is, 20 amos is not anyone's shear. It's not the Rabbanan shear, which would be 18 amos. It's not Rabbi Shimon's shear, which would be 22. So why 20? To which Rav Idi says, the other Rabbi Shimon. It is Rabbi Shimon. And I'll tell you what we're talking about. V'hacha mayaskinon binefili. We'll say it could be meaning you would find something within 20 amos. We'll say if there were smaller graves for stillborns, like we spoke about yesterday, that there were certain graves that were hewn out dafka for stillborns, which we'll say would have been much smaller graves. Those graves would be discovered even if you just travel 20 amos. To which the Gemara says, one second, umi dahab nefili, hanami binefili, tamni sri havyon. So we'll say if that's the case, then lemaisa, remember, I'm obligated to go 2 times 20 amos. Right? So then on the second trip of 20 amos, why don't I also be choshesh for the fact that what? That maybe I could discover graves that were dafka for children, for stillborns, and then I should only be obligated to go 18 amos, not 20 amos, to which the Gemara says, chada benefili aminan, tarti benefili lo aminan. We'll say ultimately again, we're only choshesh for the existence of one set of stillborn graves, not two sets of stillborn graves. Now, what does that mean? Take a look at the Rashbam. So we'll say, so if you see the Rashbam is the first wide line over here, the Rashbam says, Rav Shish Rei, Rav Idi Amar, it's the first wide line on the bottom, not all the way on the bottom, but before the parak ends. Hach seif lami Rabbi Shimini, ukigon dahani shlosha mesim habu nefili. So we'll say, listen to this. The way that Rashbam understands this is the three graves that I found, Rabbi Osai, were graves of nephalim, were graves of stillborns. Uma ara shal nephalim arkoshesh, uma ara hashniya ches ama hare chaf ama. So we'll say ultimately again, so the Rashbam understands over here that the length of a particular ma'ara for nephalim will be 6. And then the second, then the second, Uma Ara Shniya Ches Ama, Hare Chaf Ama. So we'll say, so again, Rav Shishim Rei Dravidi is saying that it is Rabbi Shimon, but ultimately, again, we're dealing with the discovery over here of Nephel graves. And Nephel graves will be smaller, and therefore, to get you ultimately, again, from one Nephel complex to the next, will only take 20 amos. So look at the next Rashbam, Utrei Benefili Lo Aminan, the Dayo Ba'achas Lenefalim. So we'll say, what the Rashbam was also telling us, what the Gemara is telling us, something very interesting, which is, it would have been uncommon to have two Ma'aros for Nephalim within one burial complex. So to find one set of graves for the Nephalim would have been normal, but to find two would not have been normal. Okay, so the Gemara says the following. Rami Rabban Ad Rabban, Rami Dershin Ad Dershin. So also the Gemara points out over here, we seem to have a stira between the Rabbanon and another opinion of the Rabbanon and Rabbi Shimon. Why? What happened? Let's listen to this. Tisanya. We've actually had this case before. Tisanya. Kerem hanatua apachos mi'arbala. So we'll say, remember again, the halacha is that a vineyard has a particular definition. What's the definition of a vineyard? A vineyard is an area that has vines. That's only part of the equation. The vines have to be spaced at least dalet amos, meaning one row of vines has to be spaced at least dalet amos from the next one. So the Gemara says the following. What happens if you have a vineyard that is planted and the vines are less than dalet amos from each other? So what's the halacha? Rabbi Shimon Omer, Eino Kerem. Rabbi Shimon says, it's not a vineyard. Right? Meaning if you have vines that are planted less than dalet amos from each other, that is not a vineyard. Rabbi Shimon says, Eino Kerem. Becham becham say, Harei ze Kerem. Come say, no, it is a vineyard. Vero and Asa and Saim ki ilu einan. And we view ultimately what? We view the middle vines as if they are not there. As well as say, halachically, what we view it is, let's say for argument's sake, you have 3 rows of vines, or whatever, you have multiple rows of vines, and the vines are spaced 2 amos from each other. So what will the Rabbanan say? The Rabbi Shimon says, that's not the vineyard. Rabbanan will say, sure, it's a vineyard. We just view, we'll call the middle vine as if what? As if it's not present. If that middle vine is not present, then what? Rabbanan will say, then you have dalet amos between each vine. Then you have a kerem. Now, we'll say, now what does it matter if we have a kerem or not? What does it matter if it's called the kerem? Remember, this sugya is specifically talking about the halachos of klai hakerem. The halacha is you are not permitted to introduce any what we'll call foreign species into a vineyard. But that's only if the area is halachically categorized as a vineyard. So for example, I can't plant wheat in my vineyard, but that has to be that the space conforms to the halachic definition of a vineyard. So let's say I have vines, a series of vines that are planted 2 amos from each other. So according to Rabbi Shimon, that's not a vineyard. Therefore, could I plant grain there? And the answer is yes. According to the Rabbanan, we will view the middle vines as if they are not there, creating the requisite space between the other vines, it now becomes a vineyard. You can't plant wheat there. So we'll say, so we have a kasha. So the Gemara says, kasha, drabanan. They will say, now why is kasha drabanan? Because we'll say, remember again in the previous case, where we discussed the idea of you find multiple bodies buried in very close proximity to each other. Too close, so close that it can't be considered a cemetery, but rather it looks like just a haphazard burying. So we'll say, so what's the halacha? What's the halacha? The halacha is that the Rabbanon said that is not a cemetery. The Rabbanon said that's not a cemetery because the bodies are too close to each other. Rabbi Shimon says that is a cemetery. Why? We view the middle bodies as if they're not there. Yet here by Klai HaKerem, the vines are too close to each other. Rabbi Shimon says that's not a vineyard. And the Rabbanon say we view what? The vines as if they're not there. So we'll say they're contradicting each other. Furthermore, again, the Kasha de Rabbi Shimon de Rabbi Shimon. So we'll say that's the Kasha de Rabbanon, that's the Rabbanon's inherent contradiction. What's the contradiction of Rabbi Shimon? Rabbi Shimon de Rabbi Shimon, Kasha de Rabbanon de Rabbanon, the Kasha de Rabbi Shimon ad Rabbi Shimon. So we'll say they both seem to be contradicting themselves. In the case of the graves, Rabbi Shimon is the one who says, we view the middle bodies as if they're not there. Yet he doesn't say it by the vineyard. By the case of the graves, the Rabbanon say, we view the middle bodies as if they are there. Yet by the case of the vineyard, they say, we view the vines as if they're not there. So what's happening over here? To which the Gemara says, Rabbi Shimon ad Rabbi Shimon lo kasha. We'll say, Rabbi Shimon is not contradicting himself. How so? Hasam lo nati in shiadaita le'akar. So we'll say, in the case of the vineyard, a person never plants vines with the intention of uprooting them. In other words, when people plant vines, the intention is what they're both saying. The intention is to leave it. Therefore, again, says Rabbi Shimon, when you have a vineyard where the vines are planted very close to each other, you can't say that I'm going to view it as if the middle vines are not there. What does that mean? A person purposely planted them that way, and his intention is to leave them that way. Ha-ha, so what happens in the case of burial? Zimnin, sometimes it could happen that someone dies very suddenly and the levaya is very late. Remember again, this is also in Eretz Yisrael. They have different hakpadas about burying quickly. Even in Babel, we know that they did this. So what could happen? The levaya is ben hashmashas, right before Shabbos. Suppose say, what do they do? Now to us, this sounds crazy, but this did happen, which is what we do at Bosai. They would quickly bury a person. With the intention of what? Right? Moving the body later on. But you know, stuff happens, and you know, you forgot about it. Right? So, I mean, you could have a situation where Lemaisa, again, a person was buried somewhere, not with the intention of leaving him there, but he got left there. And therefore, again, Rabbi Shimon says, because, again, that's not a permanent burial spot. See, I'm saying, and that's Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon says, when you find a bunch of bodies buried too close to each other, so in Rabbi Shimon's mind, what that paints is a picture of haphazardness. People have to be buried quickly, they're buried quickly, they were supposed to be moved, but for whatever reason, they were never moved. So Lamaise, again, Rabbi Shimon says, in that kind of case, where those graves were never meant to be permanent graves, we can view the graves as if what? As if they're not there. When it comes to vines, people don't plant vines for the purpose of being uprooted. Even if vines are too close together, their intention is to leave everything there. Therefore, Rabbi Shimon is not contradicting himself. The Rabbanan are also not contradicting themselves. How so? Hacha, Kevan, Diminava, Allah, Mikri Kever. So we'll say, ultimately, again, in the case of the Rabbanan, since Rabbanan say this is considered to be a degradation to the mace, this is not called the kever. Hasam meimar amar hey minayhu deshapir shapir udalo shapir lahavi letzivi. So we'll say, says the Gemara the following idea. So the Rabbanon say that such a kever like this is not called the kever, and therefore again the Rabbanon say can't be included in any type of calculation in shchunas kvaras. But with vines, I will say, says the Rabbanon, it's very common that people plant a bunch of stuff with the recognition that what? Some will make it, and some won't. But a person ultimately, again, which you know, this is the Musar of Rabbi Akiva. Baboker tizra sadcha ulerev atanach yadecha. So ultimately, Rabbi Akiva says, make sure to plant in the morning and plant in the evening as well. Why? Because you never know which of the things that you plant will ultimately endure. Of course, Rabbi Akiva was talking about this in the context of the loss of his 24,000 talmidim. But anyway, the Gemara says over here, the Rabbanan felt that it was very common for a person to plant a whole bunch of vines, recognizing that some of them will die. The ones that make it. The ones that die, die. But ultimately, again, that's why the Rabbanan feel that I can, by vines, say that what? I can, by vines, go ahead and say that it's as if some of them are not present. Okay, so we've resolved the machlokes, there's no stira. Hadron aloch. Hamocher peros. We'll say Mazel tov. Let's begin. Rechatzu ha'atunah yelahinu malachol v'shakol niyeh bitvaro. Right, we'll say Vayter. Hamocha lechavera beis korafer. Right, excuse me. Haomer lechavera. A person says to his friend, beis korafer ani mocha lecha. So we'll say, I say to my friend, I am selling you a core of land. Core is a measurement. Now listen, now we're going to discuss, interestingly enough, whether this means an actual core of land, core of real estate, or whether this means land that is large enough to able to produce a core of produce. We'll see that distinction. But for now, let's just assume that we're talking about the size of a tract of land. Track of land. So says the Gemara. So I say to Reuven, I am selling you a base core of land, right? So we'll say. So now the Mishnah gets into an interesting discussion. Hayusham nikaim amukim asar tvachim oslaim givoim yutvachim. So we'll say, what happens if on that tract of land there are rocks that are more than 10 tvachim high, or there are clefts in the earth that are more than 10 tvachim deep? So we'll say, remember again, 10 tvachim, we know from our Hilchos Shabbos days, right, is the requisite height. Not necessarily the area, but the requisite height, ultimately, to be able to be considered its own rishos, its own domain. So the shaila now is, I'm selling Reuven a core of land. Including that core of land are rocks that are 10 tfachim high, or clefts that are 10 tfachim deep. Now, obviously, those are not plantable areas. So the shaila is what? The shaila is, are they included in the measurement of the core or not? So says the Mishnah, if they are 10 tefachim high, 10 tefachim deep, einon nimdadin ima. They are not included as part of the land of Osai, and I have to give Reuven a core of land independent of those rocks that protrude or the clefts that go down. However, pachos mikan, if there are rocks, but the rocks are less than 10 tefachim high, or the clefts are less than 10 tefachim deep, then what? Nimdadin ima. Then it will say they are included, they are counted along with the sale of the land. Okay. Vim amar lo kibes kar afar. Vim amar lo kibes kar afar. Kibes kur afar. Listen, now watch this. Look what an incredible chaf could do. In other words, case number one is I said to Reuven, I'm selling you a base car. Case number two is I'm selling you kibes car. Kibes car means what? Approximately a base car, right? Like a base car. Then what's the halacha? Afilo hayosham nekayim amukim yosim asar tefachim. Even if in that case there were stones higher than 10 tefachim, or again clefts deeper than 10 tefachim, aslam gavam yosim asar tefachim, hare elu nimdadin ima. Then Rabbi said these would be included ultimately again in the calculation of the land. So again, what the Mishnah is ultimately saying is, if I say base car, then I'm making a definitive statement. That definitive statement does not allow for rocks that are too tall or clefts that are too deep to be included. If I say kibes kar, so I'll say kibes kar ultimately again allows for what? Kibes kar allows for an approximation. Says the Gemara, so we'll begin this today, and then we'll stop in just a moment. So says the Gemara Tanan Hasam, Hamaktish Sadehu Bishel Yovel, No Selo Lebeis Zera Chomer Sorim Chamishim Shekel Kefsa. So we'll say, here's the halacha, that if somebody is Maktish Sadeh, we'll say, if you consecrate your field, so the assumption is consecrations, obviously these halachas will be a bit more in depth, but consecrations only apply until Yovel. Because what happens at Yovel? Yovel comes, everyone gets back their field. They're both saying, now what's the halacha in terms of, let's say I want to go ahead and redeem my field sometime during the 50-year period of Yovel, right, the Yovel cycle. So what's the halacha, both say? So we assume, we put an objective value to every field. We assume that for a base zera chomer sorim, both say, we're going to see, base zera chomer sorim is another name for a kur. It's the same measurement. For a core of land, chamishim shekel kesef. Okay, so we'll say we assume the value of a core of land for a 50-year lease to the Beis HaMikdash, essentially that's what Hekdash is going to be valued ultimately again at 50 silver pieces, which Rabbeinu Sanhedrin means, so if you want to figure out redemption, the way Chazal said it, it's a sela and a pundion per year. One sela and a pundion, meaning a sela and change, right, which is a shekel and change, a shekel and sela, the same thing. One shekel per year. So we'll say, depending on when in the Yovel cycle you want to go ahead and redeem your field, that's the amount of money you have to pay. Now what's the chav for our purposes? Hayusham nekanamukim yutfachim, oslam gavon yutfachim. So we'll say, let's say again, I'm makdish my field. But on that field is what? On that field are rocks that are more than 10 tefachim high, or clefts that are more than 10 tefachim deep. Then what's halacha? We'll say, tap of kuf gimel, ein nimdadin ima. They are not included in the hektish of the field. So this is very important halacha. A makdish a field, but it has these other areas in it. It has rocks that are more than 10 tefachim high, clefts that are more than 10 tefachim deep. These areas are not reckoned as part of the field itself, and therefore are not hektish. Which means, if I want to go ahead and have a barbecue on top of that rock, I have the right to do so. I want to fill that cleft with water, I have the right to do so. Pachos mikan. However, if they are smaller than this amount, then what is the halacha? Nimdadin ima. Then Rabbi said, ultimately, again, if because they are smaller, meaning less than 10 tefachim in height, or less than 10 tefachim in depth, then ultimately, again, they will be included in the Hekdish. So we'll stop over here for today, and Emirat Hashem, we're going to see, the Gemara is going to say, Amai, the Gemara is going to ask why they're not included in the Hekdish, and Emirat Hashem will continue tomorrow.
We'll also make sure to remove your Gemaras from the room.